In my confusion, I opened up a vein, and a horrible puddle of blood formed on the plastic wrap alongside the janitor. I stopped for a moment, looking for an answer, finding nothing. I looked away, out the shell of a window. I stared, forgetting to breathe. The moon was visible over the water. For some reason I could not explain, that seemed so right, so necessary, that for a moment I just looked out across the water, watching it shimmer. So very perfect. I swayed and bumped against my makeshift table and came back to myself. But the moon? Or was it the water? So close. I was so close to something I could almost smell. But what? A shiver ran through me, and that was right, too. So right, it set off a whole chain of shivers until my teeth chattered. But why? What did it mean? Something was there, something important, an overwhelming purity and clarity riding the moon and the water just beyond the tip of my fillet knife, and I couldn't catch it. I looked back at the janitor. He made me so angry, the way he was lying there, covered with improvised marks and unnecessary blood. But it was hard to stay angry, with the beautiful Florida moon pounding at me, the tropical breeze blowing, the wonderful night sounds of flexing duct tape and panic breathing. I almost had to laugh. Some people choose to die for some very unusual things, but this horrid little bug, dying for copper wire. And the look on his face, so hurt and confused and desperate. It would have been funny if I hadn't felt so frustrated. And he really did deserve a better effort from me. After all, it wasn't his fault I was off my usual form. He wasn't even vile enough to be at the top of my to-do list. He was just a repulsive little slug who killed children for money and kicks, and only four or five of them, as far as I knew. I almost felt sorry for him. He truly wasn't ready for the major leagues. Ah, well, back to work. I stepped back to Jaworski's side. He was not thrashing as much now, but he was still far too lively for my usual methods. Of course, I didn't have all my highly professional toys tonight, and the going must have been a little rough for Jaworski. But like a real trooper, he had not complained. I felt a surge of affection and slowed down my slapdash approach, spending some quality time on his hands. He responded with real enthusiasm, and I drifted away, lost in happy research. Eventually, it was his muffled screams and wild thrashing that called me back to myself, and I remembered I hadn't even made sure of his guilt. I waited for him to calm down, then removed the plastic from his mouth. "The runaways?" we asked.
"Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus," he said weakly.
"I don't think so," we said. "I think we may have left them behind."
"Please,"
he said.
"Oh, please."
"Tell me about the runaways," we said.
"Okay,"
he breathed. "You took those girls?"
"Yes."
"How many?" He just breathed for a moment. His eyes were closed, and I thought I might have lost him a little early. He finally opened his eyes and looked at me.
"Five," he said at last. "Five little beauties. I'm not sorry."
"Of course you're not," we said. I placed a hand on his arm. It was a beautiful moment. "And now, I'm not sorry either." I stuffed the plastic into his mouth and went back to work. But I had really only just started to recapture my rhythm when I heard the guard arrive downstairs.